Or you can email me straight on, and then we'll call you.
Or you can find him at the pool hall most any evening. He's down there hanging around with his picnic basket.
Well, yeah, not with a picnic basket. That picnic basket got to be protected.
That's right.
It absolutely has to be. And that's why I keep on saying this. The bad part is you got to save money. The good part is if you do save it, the bad part is if you do save it, that it can be taken away from you. So protect yourself.
So what you want to do to protect yourself is dial that number, 334-279-7431. Talk to David Ernest.
Yes, we have all kinds of programs that you can review on the website, and one of them is The Color of Money, which we'll talk about a lot of the different things that we can do and help you with.
You ever been to Canada and got any money up there?
Yeah.
Their money looks like Monopoly money.
I know it.
And it's like you give people that and they give you money back. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's Monopoly money.
I don't want to live there. The taxes are too high.
No. Beautiful country.
Oh, yes.
Taxes too high.
Too high.
So we've talked about reverse compound interest. We've talked about Uncle Sam. We've talked about saving money and your picnic basket. And I think we're going to talk about going on out the door now, because I think our time is just about up. The phone number to call David Ernest is 334-279-7431. That's 334-279-7431. And David, it's just about time to head out. You got any last thoughts?
Yeah, don't let the bear get the picnic basket.
Yeah, don't let the bear get the picnic basket. And don't load the horse up too much. And here come the train. Get out of the way. We'll see you next time here on Health and Wealth with David Ernest. But you love.
Matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.
You wouldn't go to a mechanic and expect them to bake a great birthday cake, so why use all-in-one contractors who dabble in a little bit of everything but aren't pros of anything? Baron Coleman from News & Views here. Don't get caught up in using a jack-of-all-trade and a master of none. At Chase Interiors, Chase Interiors does one thing, ceiling and wall repair. From drywall cracks to holes in your walls or ceilings, that's their specialty. Always on time, they try to make the process as pleasant and painless as possible. Trust the pros. Trust Chase Interiors. 799-1502. 799-1502 for Chase Interiors.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Alabama Wholesale Lumber. Alabama Wholesale Lumber, the best quality building materials in the River Region for decades. From common builds to special orders and local delivery. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. This first week of July is going to be the hottest week we've had so far. It's possible that you could run into a evening cooling shower, but the chances are very, very small. Fading out later on tonight, and the overnight low temperature, a very steamy 76. Tomorrow and the 4th of July, high temperatures 95 to 97 both days. The heat index near the 105 danger level. Stay hydrated. Some spotty relief perhaps from some widely scattered storms, but most towns unfortunately get skipped. Then on Friday, we're still in the middle 90s. A few widely scattered storms here and there. Slightly better coverage by Friday and Saturday, but still random and spotty. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville. With over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
This is too real, and there ain't no escape. It's scary. And now, from the plush, dimly lit Blue Water Broadcasting Studios, high atop the glorious Bluedale Building in hysterical Montgomery, Alabama, the capital of dreams. Hey, it's in our trash cans. Once again, it's time for the River Region's only program dedicated to the seeking of truth, no matter what it uncovers or who it may implicate. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the weeknight edition of Clearing the Air. And as always, I am your intrepid host, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, a man dealing with a mind and body infested with a progressive bioweapon. The powers that shouldn't be referred to as Morgellons disease, which is a bit of a misnomer. My name is Terry Adams. Welcome to tonight's program. Now, this is the weeknight edition, the companion program to the original Clearing the Air from 6 till 9 every Saturday night. Now, here's where it gets real. Do not believe anything you hear on this, actually, or any program, because you have to learn to trust your own instincts. You have to learn to do your own research, come to your own understanding of what's true and what isn't. Remember, your perception of the world around you is your reality, which is why the powers that shouldn't be have become experts in what's called perception management. Just don't let them master yours. Okay, and speaking of that, let me stop this. Hang on a second. Speaking of perception management, what you have been told regarding the Russian submarine accident that took place yesterday, this is what's scary, is not the complete story. Now, here is what I have found. Listen up. This is very, very, very important. This could be the event that triggers what we all know is inevitable, the collapse of this country, the Third World War, and, of course, the Great Tribulation. Here's what you've not been told. First reports from our military insiders say that a U.S. submarine intercepted a Russian nuclear sub in American waters outside of Alaska. The Russian sub was escorting the nuclear submarine. It responded with a Falcon 2000 torpedo, which scuttled the U.S. submarine, killed all our sailors. Urgent consultations in both the White House and the Kremlin were taking place on Tuesday night. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence called off an appearance to New Hampshire after being recalled to Washington for a conference called by President Donald Trump. No explanation given to the media or anyone. Yeah. Let me tell you what the Russian-controlled TASS news service said. On July 1st, 14 submariners, sailors, died in Russian territorial waters as a result of inhaling combustion products aboard a research submersible vehicle designated for studying the seafloor in the bottom of the world ocean in the interest of the Russian Navy after a fire broke out during a bathymetric measurements. Read a translation of the statement from the state control test. The minister gave no details about the type of vessel, but Russian media reports say it was a nuclear mini-sub used for special ops. At the same time, Vice President Pence was on his way to an engagement in New Hampshire when his jet turned around and he flew back. So something big is going on. Here's an update. Seven captains and two service personnel that had been awarded Russia's highest honorary title, Hero of the Russian Federation, were among those who died on the vessel, according to TASS. The remaining crew was able to extinguish the fire. The ministry said the incident is believed to have occurred off Russia's northern shore in the Barents Sea on Monday, but the Ministry of Defense has not specified. Now, the submarine was towed to the Russian North Fleet headquarters in Severomorsk, and an investigation is underway. Now, here's the interesting thing. The boat was identified by Russian language news service RBC as the Losharik, a S-12, a nuclear-powered submarine that is widely believed to be a key asset for the Russian main directorate of deep-sea research known as GUGI. Now, GUGI develops and operates a fleet of specialized submarines that Russia uses for deep-sea and covert operations. Now, they believe that this boat was called the Losharik. I said that. It's among the most mysterious of the closely guarded fleet. Fielded in the late 1990s, specifics for this nuclear-powered mini-sub are few. It's estimated to carry a crew of only 25, but it can dive to thousands of feet below the surface. Now, this 2,000-ton boat can travel slung underneath the belly of a specially modified Delta III nuclear ballistic missile submarine, according to an open source intelligence analysts. The purpose and capabilities of it are shrouded in mystery. Now, according to analyst H.I. Sutton, the Losharik is one of a range of special mission boats based at the Russian Navy's Northern Fleet, Olenya Guba Base. This is one of several bases set up by the Russians during the Cold War in the inhospitable but strategically important Kola Peninsula, far away from any real civilization. Now, the accident comes during the summer operational period for the GUGI boats, basically giving them kind of letting them stretch their legs before the North Atlantic deployment. So it really shouldn't have been out there. The deep sea missions the sub is sent on leads Western military analysts to believe the interior of the sub is actually made up of a series of seven orb-shaped spaces, according to Sutton's information. A rendering that they show shows it like a typical-looking submarine, albeit somewhat smaller, with seven huge round balls taking up the interior space. Think long tube with seven perfectly sized round balls loaded into it, like a rifle barrel. Strange-looking craft. Now, of course, that name, it comes from a popular Russian cartoon horse that's made out of juggling balls. The use of the orb-shaped compartments, while diminishing the amount of space for living quarters, operating equipment, and the propulsion unit, makes the sub stronger and able to dive deeper than a traditional submarine. Now, as for what it's supposed to be doing, it's suspected that the Russian government has used its deep-sea diving capability to extend Russia's territorial claims to the seafloor beneath the Arctic Ocean. Back in 2012, Le Shark was part of a large Russian naval exercise in the Arctic, collecting samples to prove that the Lomonosov and the Mendeleev ridges on the seafloor are part of the Russian continental shelf, according to Unconstrained Foreign Direct Investment. Whatever that means. Stuart Best, a prophet who does a blog, here's how he kind of summed it up. It's reported that a firefight between American and Russian subs occurred. American sub was scuttled. The event happened in American waters. Emergency meetings are being held in D.C., Moscow, and the EU. Was this a lone wolf operation? Was this a global deep state operation to begin World War III? Was it a false flag event? The timing of this event should raise eyebrows in regard to prophecy. Israel, Syria, Iran, North Korea, Russia, etc. We have warned many times to prepare as best one can for what we have no idea. We have warned many times to prepare as best one can for we have no idea if this was a rogue sub-commander acting on his own or was given fake radio transmissions in order to sink the sub. No one knows yet. Now, interestingly enough, the same day, David Wilcock, investigative journalist and researcher, was on Coast to Coast saying that he's received information that the 24-foot-tall giants that have been in stasis beneath the ice in Canada have reawakened. Are the two events connected? Have the Luciferian psychopaths inside the deep state sacrificed American submariners in an effort to protect these beings from being discovered and possibly destroyed by our purported enemy, Russia? We're going to get into that. I'm also going to go in a whole lot of different directions tonight. I'm going to play several clips, so please stay with me. First, let's get into this Russian submarine thing. This is fascinating. See if we can get this thing to work.
We have some interesting going-ons right now that may or may not be related. We have Vice President Mike Pence's plane called back to Washington over unspecified emergency. So what could this be? So as you see the photo here of Vice President Mike Pence, his airplane was called back to Washington and he had a scheduled event in New Hampshire that was canceled over an unspecified emergency. Something came up that required the VP to remain in Washington, D.C. It's no cause for alarm. So said spokeswoman Alyssa Farah on Twitter. He looks forward to rescheduling a trip to New Hampshire very soon. The vice president was expected to address a roundtable discussion in Salem about the opioid crisis. There's been an emergency callback, Randy Gentry, a representative from Pence's office, told the crowd. The vice president was asked to return to Washington, so at this time we're going to cancel today's event. And at the same time, we have this. Now, this is out of the Sun, which usually I just click off of it and ignore. But going deeper, there are some other sources talking about the same thing, and we'll take a peek at them. So you see Red Alert, Vladimir Putin calls urgent meeting with defense chiefs as Mike Pence's plane turns back to D.C. for emergency. So Vladimir Putin has pulled out of an event in Moscow as U.S. Vice President Mike Pence's plane has been recalled to Washington. over an undisclosed emergency. The Russian leader is thought to have canceled his schedule for the rest of the day and is urgently meeting with Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu. And Mr. Pence, as we had said, he was called back too. So it's not clear if these two events are related. And, you know, there's more going on as well. So over here, we have just somebody on Twitter that's been tracking Mike Pence's plane. And apparently it's been on the ground and then back up again. Now, is it related to some threat? That's a question. ISIS threats leading up to July 4th depict attacks on New York and the White House. So we see this just came out. ISIS supporters have featured New York and Washington in a threat propaganda leading up to the 4th of July, which is not just our Independence Day, but a key caliphate anniversary. And that has also included aviation threats. One threat image spread online in recent days depicts jihadists watching a fiery plane crash, and another from the non-official ISIS media channel include the image of a plane in a vow to soon attack the doors of Europe. Another image also showed a U.S. soldier fleeing down a New York street away from the Manhattan Bridge. So, you know, is this something, as we see one of the images there, is this something that is being responded to by Mr. Pence and Mr. Putin? And as we see here, U.S. Air Force FEST Foreign Emergency Support Teams departed Joint Base Andrews. Curious. Yeah, so this is today as well. And so this is out of a Tribunal report from Twitter as well. Unconfirmed C-32A taking off from Washington, D.C. with a VIP tag and call sign Venus 91. Minutes ago, maybe carrying FLOTUS, or the First Lady, to an unknown location. Again, this is unconfirmed.
Taking them safe.
But this is the aircraft the First Lady uses. Curious. And here we see again, talking about Putin canceling his plans for today. Kremlin says he will be meeting with his defense minister very urgently. And again, that was another one on that. So we had a lockdown on a New Hampshire air base after a report of an active shooter. And this apparently is under control now. And so, is this another piece to this puzzle of what's going on? People did hear gunshots, but no shooter was seen. So, yeah, it's very curious what's going on. There's a lot of things going on here. Now, we have tanks arriving in D.C. ahead of a July 4th celebration, as we had heard that President Trump wanted to have the tanks there for the parade. So, you know, of course, this is causing people to speculate, and there's going to be a lot of speculation, and perhaps rightly so. So what do you guys think so far? What do you think is going on here? Do you have any feelings on this? So we see 14 seamen dead in fire on Russian deep submersible. And this is, again, today. So there's a lot of stuff happening right now. And so here, at least 14 Russian Navy servicemen have died after a scientific deep submersible caught fire while on a mission. Cause of the incident is unknown. So is this related? And we see Iran is seeking a death sentence for numbers of quote-unquote U.S. spies. And in case you didn't know, Iran executed a former defense ministry contractor on charges of spying for the CIA. And then over here we see Syria warning Israel that its response to attacks could change. And we do see that Israel strikes hit Damascus and Homs, causing civilian casualties. And of course, as we talked about so many times, it's always the poor innocent civilians that get hammered here. and there's been millions killed across the Middle East in all these wars. Trump says he wants a full withdrawal from Afghanistan, but is afraid of terrorist attacks. You know, he's talking, too, about the fact that we've been there 19 years. 19 years. Is that not basically becoming a policing act when you've been there 19 years? And then the Russians were there for so long before the U.S. was. So, you know, it most definitely looks like a policing act when you're going to just basically park and stay there, controlling it. And he talks about basically gas stations being built for a fraction of what they would have been, as well as, you know, typical Americana with restaurants and things like that. So, you know, it seems like something is up. Is this the big thing with Iran that's about to go off? Is this, you know, something with Venezuela about to happen? Is it something different? Is it something totally, totally different? You know, perhaps as there was a report that there's four asteroids that sometime in the relatively near future, as early as 2024 for a significant one, could be striking the Earth. So, you know, what's going on here? That's the question that I think a lot of us are asking right now. And please do share what you guys are finding. As always, look forward to your comments. What's your thoughts on what's happening? Is this just nothing? Or is there something to be concerned about? And again, always, 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 we should be prepared. You know, we shouldn't fear, but yet it would be foolish to not be prepared at the same time. And when you get down into these type of things, it's almost like you hate to talk about anything that could be looked at as quote-unquote fear porn. But what if you didn't mention something and somebody didn't maybe make some preparations and something really big happened and then it impacted people's lives in a negative way? And maybe you could have actually helped some people by letting them know what's going on. So obviously we don't want to fear porn and we don't want to project fear. We don't want to go down that path. But at the same time, when you're living in a world such as the world that we are in these times, it's very prudent, you know, to keep up on what's happening, to know what's going on. You know, 9/11, that was a day that shocked people into a new sense of reality. It shocked people to the core. And so many people at that moment really did rally together. Yet, perhaps, you know, that was part of the plan and part of the bigger picture was rallying together towards a certain goal. And, of course, many people have their own thoughts on what really happened on 9/11. And so, you know, going back so long ago, there have been talks of another, you know, 9/11 coming along that would be, you know, perhaps way up in scale. And so with the times that we have going on right now, it just makes sense to be as prepared as possible. After all, you know, they have told us, the government has said, be ready for 6 months with no grid, be prepared, every citizen to take care of themselves. So we really don't know what's going to happen. But we must be prepared, and we must stick together and work together to build our...
Yeah, so what is going on? Don't know. It's going to get interesting. When we get back from this break, I'm going to play you Wilcock and the 24-foot giants, he claims, are coming out of stasis. I found this article today on... this was about James Forsell. I don't know if you know who he is. He was our first Secretary of Defense. They say he committed suicide. He jumped out of a 12th story window at Bethesda Naval Hospital. But what I have read, what William Cooper says happened was when the Roswell incident happened and the intelligence agencies were created by Truman and Eisenhower to deal with the alien threat, he got together what was called the Majestic 12, the 12 of the greatest minds that they had to try to figure out how they wanted to deal with it. They asked the Brookings Institute, a government think tank, what should we do? Should we tell the people that there are extraterrestrials? And they said, absolutely not. All the every institution on this planet will crumble if you do that. Forrestal said, look, he was the only one that said it's not fair to the people. The people deserve to know. He was adamant. Well, next thing you know, they're telling him, you kind of need to take a vacation there, James. You're not acting right. They kicked him out. They put him in Bethesda, and late one night, somebody came up there, wrapped him in a sheet, and threw him out of a window. He was the first, I'm not sure what you would call him, I guess the first person sacrificed in the movement that looks like it's about to culminate here soon. He was the very first one. So let me just read you this. This is from Catherine Austin Fitz, who I just love her to death, former undersecretary of HUD. I think she was under Bush. This week I discussed the assassination of James Forrestal. James Forrestal rose from an entry-level position to serve as president of Dillon Reading Company, Incorporated, on Wall Street. No way. A Wall Street guy? No way. Forrestal was nominated to be Undersecretary of the Navy by President Franklin D. Roosevelt back in 1940, where he led the national push for industrial mobilization during the Second World War. He was named Secretary of the Navy in May 1944. It was then just a cabinet-level position, and became the first Secretary of the newly created Defense Department under Roosevelt's successor, Harry S. Truman, after the passage of the National Security Act, the infamous National Security Act in 1947. After Truman's re-election, he forced Forrestal to resign on March 28, 1949. He was then essentially placed under house arrest at Bethesda Naval Hospital, where he was murdered in the early morning hours of the 22nd of May, 1949, shortly before his brother was expected to arrive to help him, to assist him in leaving the institution. He was there. He was locked up there. He was not there. He didn't want to be there, okay? They stuck him up there. He didn't want to be there. It was the National Security Act of 1947 that had created the CIA, but the agency's powers were expanded dramatically a month after Forrestal's assassination. The CIA Act of 1949 was passed by the House on March 7, 1949, by the Senate on May 27, 1949, reported and agreed to by the Joint Conference Committee from June 2 through 7, and signed into law by President Truman on June 20, 1949. It authorized the agency to, quote, use confidential fiscal and administrative procedures, and it exempted it from many of the usual limitations on the use of federal funds. The Act, Section 6 of the Act, also exempted the agency from having to disclose its, quote, organization, functions, officials, titles, salaries, or numbers of personnel employed. It also created a program called PL-110 to handle defectors and other, quote, essential aliens outside normal immigration procedures, as well as to give those people cover stories and economic support. In other words, put them in hiding. Now, don't you find it interesting that Forrestal was killed and then they passed this act? It's almost like they knew he was going to protest, because he already suspected they were up to something, because he didn't think it was right to keep all this stuff secret. I don't think he would have agreed with this updated act, because it's basically giving the CIA almost carte blanche to do what the hell they want. Not good. So yeah, they killed him for it. Forrestal's death is a case study in fake news and the use of the media to kill a man's name. This is what I've been telling you. First thing you do, character assassination, and that's what they did. And that made it easier to kill him. If they come out and say, well, he suffered a mental breakdown, or he's under psychiatric care, then that way, if they throw him out of a window, it's easy for them to say, well, he lost it a little bit and he committed suicide. If you look at the policies that Forrestal argued for, against the creation of the State of Israel and for greater transparency regarding the black budget, we would be living in a different world today if he had remained as Secretary of Defense. Indeed, it is more than possible that there's a direct connection between Forrestal's death, the deaths of a series of politicians over the last two decades, the following two decades, including Joseph McCarthy, President John Kennedy, of course Robert Kennedy, and the steady rise of secret monies for secret armies and funds which have disappeared from the United States Treasury. Absolutely. Now, when they're talking about Israel, they're talking about the Balfour Declaration, and this is where I have trouble with Israel, because of who funded the creation of Israel. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, all the people we know as the bad guys are the ones who put the money up for what we're calling the State of Israel. that throws up huge red flags to me. And apparently it would have forced all two. But I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I'm sure what I've already said will elicit a nasty phone call or a text message to the boss. I don't care. I say what I say and I mean what I mean.